Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to your dream than any other non-military American in this century.
We are back. Thank you very much for being here today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as I promised you, our very good friend Gary Moore is our guest this hour. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He spent 20 years on Wall Street. His last assignment was as Senior Vice President of Investments for Payne Webber. He left Wall Street to attend seminary, after which he founded Gary Moore & Company, a counsel to ethical and religious investors. He is the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, which we've spoken about many times on the show. He serves on the board of advisors of the Templeton Foundation, Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral, and Jack Kemp and Bill Bennett's Empower America. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to have you. And I know you got a lot of different things on your mind. One of the things I wanted you to talk about was you delivered a speech to some folks a week or so ago, and I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about what happened there.
I went to Atlanta about 9 months ago, I guess. A friend asked me to come and speak to a group of about 200 religious foundations. Between them, they may have $100 billion under management, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concerned about all they were hearing about Y2K. So he asked me to go and serve on a panel discussion with some Y2K pessimists, and about how Y2K might affect our portfolios and our businesses between now and the end of the year. It was a fascinating conversation because when I got there, the pessimists had decided they didn't want to talk about Y2K. They talked about giving money to the church, which was fascinating. The topics kind of shift.
They were flying under false colors a little bit, weren't they?
Well, I think so, and I continue to think so. I'm actually writing an article about why we go from year to year predicting all this nonsense, and then just as soon as it doesn't happen, we just pretend we never predicted the nonsense. And
what you do is you declare victory and retreat.
Well, you sort of do what's called historic revisionism. I got a letter, I wrote an article for the National Religious Broadcasters about 6 months ago, in the interim, by the way. Between getting the invitation to serve on this panel, the religious broadcasters called me and they said, Gary, aren't we kind of losing touch with reality here like we did over the federal debt? And I said, well, sure we are. And they said, well, write an article. And so we sent it out. And it's largely focused in one area and of people. And I thought, well, geez, you know, when these guys read this, maybe they're going to say, geez, we need to rethink our approach here. But all I did was get a letter that said these guys never said anything that they said they had said. And it dawned on me that we're just not getting through. And so we're working even harder today to try to explain the realities of these situations. But the big picture is that, as you and I were discussing a few minutes ago, and we live in an age of information, Jim. And what concerns me is that people are getting more and more information and less wisdom. And when I went to the conference in the early 90s, I used to do a survey where I would say, have you heard we have a federal debt and how large it is? And everybody would say, sure, I've heard that. And I'd say, do you know what America's assets are? You know, even today, I have yet to hear anyone who knows what our assets are. Well, if you know we have a $5 trillion federal debt, that's fine. But if you know we've got 50-some trillion in assets to balance it off and dwarf it even.
Pretty good at ratios.
Well, your worldview changes. You don't feel like we're about to go broke. You're out to invest in your businesses, to invest in your stocks, in your 401ks and so on. And it just changes everything. What I'm doing lately, though, is I ask people, do you know what the symbols Y2K mean? And everyone says, yes, of course. And I say, do you know what the symbol PE means? And they go, no, what's that? And, of course, that's a price-earnings ratio on your stock.
Now, when you asked that question at this meeting that you went to?
Yeah, and there wasn't a person in the room who knew.
Sure.
I did this at my Rotary Club, Jim. I walked in 2 weeks ago, and the speaker hadn't shown up, and I was a little bit late, and everyone applauded and said, here's our speaker. Come talk to us about the stock market. Well, instead of pronouncing my visions on the stock market, I did a little survey, and I said, how many of you know what a P.E. ratio is? And about half the people in the room did, only half. Well, the first thing I did is I said, how many of you own mutual funds? They all did.
Right.
And then I said, how many know what a P.E. ratio is? And one half of them did. And then I said, of you who know what a P.E. ratio is, how many of you could tell me what the P.E. ratio is for your mutual fund? There wasn't one Rotarian in the room who knew.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most basic financial concept for prudently managing your assets, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't anyone who knows. Now, think about that. We're all out making portfolio decisions based on a computer chip that the true computer experts say will not amount to a hill of beans in 2 months. But no one knows the most fundamental concept for managing assets. That's how diverted we get by information from wisdom, in my opinion.
Well, isn't that what you call the difference between investing and speculating?
To a certain extent, that's usually a time thing, Jim.
Yeah.
What investing is, in my opinion, is you risk your capital to produce something of value for someone else. Speculators simply risk their capital to make money for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. They don't care what's produced, how it's affecting our culture, and so on. To me, that's the difference, and it's the intent of risking your capital.
Mm-hmm.
This is more a mind thing. How we think in this country, as I jokingly told you, at the break there's probably more businessmen in America now who know the Democratic National Committee first allowed women in 1919 than there is people who know the P.E. ratio under mutual funds. But and I'm thankful to you, Jim, for letting me tell people what P.E. ratios is and what they are, because it is terribly important. Let me give you an example if it's not break time.
Go ahead.
The average P.E. ratio, price earnings ratio, on the stock market in modern history, i.e. since the Depression, is around 15. In 1929, the higher it is, of course, the riskier it is.
Mm-hmm.
In 1929, the P.E. ratio before the crash was 23. In 1968, the second greatest stock market peak in this century, the P.E. ratio was 23. Today, it's 33.
Mm.
Some of the popular funds that are loaded up on the technology stocks, which are much higher P.E. ratios, for example, the largest mutual fund in America is the Fidelity Magellan Fund. The last Morningstar report says the P.E. ratio is 37. So it was 30 in 68. Between 68 and 74, Magellan would have lost 70% of your money, Jim, on an inflation-adjusted basis.
Stand by, Gary. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Gary to tell us what all that means in plain English. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, 888-822-8255. Back, it's 24 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gary Moore is our special guest. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have an investment question, if you'd like to get John to explain a little bit more about the P.E. ratio or any of the other things that he's talking about, 888-822-8255. James is on the board, James Pearson, and he's the best. He will take your call and put you right through, 888-822-8255. Gary, you got the floor again.
Well, let's put that in plain English, Jim. I know those numbers become boggling, and our terminology is boggling. There's probably 50% more risk in stocks and even more in some stocks out there today than we have seen in this century. And you can make the argument, and John was one of the first, John Templeton, my mentor, the legendary mutual fund manager, that we are in something of a new age, but that's the, in essence, thinking on Wall Street. You'll hear them say things like P.E. ratios don't matter anymore and all mm-hmm. the standard valuations don't matter because technology is ushered in this new age of prosperity and we're never going to have bad times again. We think that's dangerous thinking. However, John did begin saying with the collapse of the Berlin Wall that we were indeed entering something of a new age, more democracy around the world, more free markets, and so on. So it's not that we're adamantly opposed to this new era thinking, if you will.
Well, one thing that helped to contribute to that thought and to the results of that is the essentially what people used to call the peace dividend.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what John said. You know, he looked back. Everybody in the early 90s was dooming and glooming about the federal debt. But, you know, at the end of World War II, our debt-to-income ratio, you always have to relate debt to your income and assets like any first-year banker would do. the debt-to-income ratio at the end of World War II was twice as high as it ever was during all that time we were dooming and glooming during the 90s. You know, in Great Britain, Sir John's business school at Oxford's named for Sir John. He went to school there as a Rhodes Scholar. But Britain's, it was four times as high as America's was in the 90s. And we've convinced ourselves the world had never seen anything like this. But the reality is, if you have a bit of sense of history, you know that the world's seen these problems before. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon once said. But anyway, this new era is indeed real, we think. We think the pace of economic growth is speeding up. John's actually written a book, Is Progress Speeding Up? And economics is a major part of that because of technology, communications, and so on. However, it still does not make us less concerned that the price-earnings ratios on these stocks are, even if you account for all of that, in our opinion, as expensive as they've ever been in history. Now, we're not saying there's going to be a crash, or we're not even saying there's going to be a huge decline, but we are saying that ever since markets were created thousands of years ago, there's been, you know, the seven lean years and seven fat years and all of that, and we think that's going to continue because people still fluctuate between fear and greed. So what we're trying to say to people, in a nutshell, is that this market is expensive. It's a time not to get carried away with all the magazine covers that promise you 20-25% returns year in, year out. That's an anomaly, and it's time to be careful.
But Gary, if Sir John was predicting this era of great prosperity,
yep,
back, as you say, after the Berlin Wall fell, and I see that, was it not basically to be expected that the P/E ratios would go up? I mean, isn't that, I mean, what else would be the result?
Absolutely. But the question is how far. You know, when I wrote my book about John, the market was under 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that in print, John would said the market was headed for 6,000 and probably much more during the 90s. Do you know the publishers at my firm, editors, would not let me put that perspective in the book?
Hmm.
They said nobody will believe that. Do you remember it was only, what, 4 to 5 years ago, we had the Republican Revolution over the federal debt and
yep,
the country going broke? I mean, Jim, the paradigm shift that's happened in this country in 4 years has just been absolutely phenomenal.
Well, we're plowing new ground here, though. I mean, this is unprecedented, an unprecedented era, as you have said. Isn't it time to establish some new models, though?
Oh, yeah. I think you always have to do that, and John does that. John always says that if you're basing anything on the way you did it in the past, it's just going to be wrong.
But aren't some of us looking at the old models and wringing our hands over some of the new stuff that we're seeing now in the marketplace?
Yeah, but we're adjusting the market, all of the old models for example. Let me give you
Gary, hang on to that. We're going to get you to tell us about that when we come back. We've got to take another break. Folks, it's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gary Moore is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, 888-822-8255. Welcome back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about some of the folks who are coming up in the days ahead. Noah St. John, the guy who identified success anorexia, is going to be here, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about his new book, which is called Permission to Succeed. Also, Jan Yeager is a new friend that I'm going to introduce to you tomorrow, and she is her book is called Creative Time Management for the New Millennium, and I'm looking forward to letting Jan tell you about what she thinks about time management. Also, Roger Volkema will be back with us to talk to us about helping you become a better negotiator. And then Beverly Williams will be with us, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Jonathan Zuck will be back with us to talk to us about the high-tech world, and also Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters and a lot more stuff. Especially October is already stacking up to be a good month, and looking forward to spending some time with you then with all these folks. Gary Moore is our guest this hour, and we've been talking about some very interesting things. And Gary, before you get back onto the subject that you were about to tell us about when I had to interrupt you for the break, please tell us where the book is available.
Oh, you can get it online at Amazon.com. You can get it in most Barnes & Nobles, or they can order it for you. Just the regular, methods for finding the book, Jim.
Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. And folks, what I like about this book is every chapter has a financial principle and a spiritual principle. And the spiritual principle that corresponds to that financial principle. And I really like this book a lot. You've heard me talk about it before. And obviously, I like the things that Gary has to say, or I wouldn't have him back on the show. Gary, you were talking about something. I had to interrupt you.
No, you had asked me, Jim, isn't it time, with us entering this new era, as
right.
it's called, to adjust our old formulas for measuring financial standards?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. We, John and I, have said we are in a new era. Let me give you an example of how that works. The P.E. ratio, as I told you, historically has been 15. Markets have crashed when it's reached about 23. Today, it's at 33. Now, we adjust that for the new era this way. If a company earns money, Jim, and reinvests, let's say, 5% of that into research and development, R&D is what drives business growth, the creation
mm-hmm.
of new products, services, and so on.
Right.
That 5% is deducted from earnings. Okay, even though it's an investment, we treat it as though it's an expense. So we think it's wise to, in essence, add back in the increasing research and development that is being done in this country, back into the P.E. ratio, subtract for that, and that gives you a more reliable price-earnings ratio, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem, Jim. Even after you make that adjustment that is driving this new era, P.E. ratios are still above the historic highs where the markets have crashed, and that's what causes us concern. So we're saying, yes, it's fine to believe we're in a new era. In fact, we believe that the world's been in a new era ever since the beginning of time. Have you ever thought about it that way? I mean, think about the progress through all of these millennia. But in essence, it's fine to believe that because we agree with you. However, if you make an allowance for that factor, stocks are still pretty expensive in the U.S., Jim.
Well, so what's your suggestion? What's your recommendation?
John is saying go international. He's also saying that it's a time to be careful and just maintain your purchasing power. Just maybe buy some Ginnie Mae's at 7% interest. Nobody's excited about 7% because we think we ought to make 20-25% on our
mm-hmm.
investments.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be time just to protect what you got as opposed to going out and getting brave and trying to make more. So go international where there are still many inexpensive stocks around the world, particularly in Asia. If you're going to be in the U.S., buy a few bonds. I have a few more bonds than I've ever had. The third thing is that Sir John, for the first time any of us are ever aware of, is doing what's called shorting a few stocks. He has always said that's where you, in essence, bet on them going down instead of going up. Sell them first, buy them back later, and I don't want to get into that. But he's always said that's foolish because the markets of the world generally go up.
Well, explain now that you've introduced the concept of shorting. Give us a quick definition.
Well, when you buy a stock, you buy it at 10, hope to sell it at 20, and pocket the $10 difference. The difference is if you think a stock is overvalued, you would sell it at 20. That's the first thing you do. Hope that it goes to 10 where you buy it back, and then you pocket the $10 difference. It's just
mm-hmm.
everything in reverse. It's
mm-hmm.
not options, futures, or anything
right.
like that. It's just selling in reverse, or buying in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
But the big
picture
is that John
isn't that basically
has,
what people call a flight to capital? I mean, a flight to quality?
No.
Isn't that similar? I mean, you sell out at 20 and take your money and put it in bonds or something else, and then wait for it to go down and then go back in?
That's a flight to quality. That's kind of market timing, which we don't believe in too much. We don't think people are smart enough to know how to do that. All the market timers for the last 10 years, 20 years even, have been dead wrong, or most of them have. But this is something simply saying that we think a lot of these technology stocks, he has given some money to a friend of mine who's a manager who is shorting some stocks at 300 times earnings, Jim. I guess you've seen some of
mm-hmm.
these internet initial public offerings are coming
well,
out.
Well, some of them, I don't know how they calculate times earnings because they have no earnings.
Well, you know, Warren Buffett tells a joke that if he were teaching a college business course, his final question today would be, how do you value an internet company? And he said anyone who even attempted an answer would automatically fail the exam. That's how crazy. You know, Warren Buffett has never owned a share of a technology company. He can't understand them. And John is shorting them. The irony is, if some of my younger clients who've never seen a bear market are in essence going the opposite direction and are firing me because I refuse to put them in some of these stocks at 100 times earnings.
Yeah.
It's a new way of thinking, and I think there's going to be some pain, Jim. Well, I've seen bubbles before in gold. You remember I watched gold go from 300 an ounce to 850 an ounce.
Right.
I got out about 650 an ounce, and everybody told me I was crazy.
Now it's at 250.
It looks pretty smart. We did the same thing with oil. Remember when everyone knew there was no more oil in the world?
Mm-hmm.
People used to leverage up in real estate. Do you remember the best-selling book in America was called Nothing Down, that says you ought to run up your credit card,
mm-hmm.
get the down payment on real estate, borrow all you can, and that's how you're going to get rich.
Right.
Well, of course, that didn't work too good either. So we've seen these main things throughout history. So it's time to be careful.
Stand by, Gary. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 40 after. I'm Jim Blackstein, and the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdoms from the Career of Sir John Templeton. 888-822-8255. Join us if you like. Welcome back. It's 45 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blessing, and I'm the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Gary Moore is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. I recommend this book to you folks. It will mean a lot to you, not only from the standpoint of helping you to take a really solid view of your investment practices, but also the practices that you live by. And I really can't encourage you enough to check this book out, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. It's available in bookstores. It's available online at Amazon.com for sure, and lots of other places, I'm sure. Gary, let's. I wanted you to talk to us. You mentioned Y2K at the very top of the hour. Where do you think we are as we approach the end of the millennium? Well, at least the end of the 19th century, I guess I should say. The millennium really doesn't start until a little over a year from now.
Well, that really confuses people when you tell them that, Jim. But we don't want to let that fact get in the way of our worldview.
Well, the Y2K is approaching at light speeds. I mean, that's coming up in just a few months.
Yeah,
what's going on with Y2K?
There's going to be problems, Jim. There's problems all the time. So I wrote in a book a year ago that all these banks are assuring us there's going to be no problems with ATMs and all of that. Well, I just can't believe that because I've had trouble with my ATMs for the last 5 years.
Hadn't done anything to do with Y2K.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is we're going to have more than the normal problems probably. There's going to be some isolated problems, but the media, in essence, because they've been scaring us to death with all this stuff, are going to print headlines about, see, Y2K was a disaster after all, you know, and pick out their worldview and affirm it.
The thing that annoys me about Y2K are the people who have turned it into a cottage industry through the fear factor. And you'd be surprised how many times I've been approached about somebody being on my show that really wanted to tell everybody about Y2K. And it's not that their view was, that I didn't let them on because their view was different from mine. But the thing that almost always happened was, after I talked to them for a little bit, I found out that they didn't just want to tell my audience about their views of Y2K. They also had some survivalist stuff they wanted to sell.
Isn't that interesting?
And when I got that information, and you'd be surprised how many times that's happened, I've said, well, you know, have a good life. I'll see you later.
Yeah, and what people don't understand is you broaden that. I mean, the best-selling, most promoted book in conservative Christianity in the last year probably is a Y2K book that in the opening pages says it's going to be a nuclear holocaust
that
will sweep the world like an economic tidal wave. I mean, that kind of nonsense sells books, too.
Right. And bottled water
and
pork and beans.
Of course, everybody has on this famous author who has this, you know, scary scenario, and then it just goes around and around and around. So
you think basically we're going to have some glitches, but it's not going to be any kind of a meltdown.
I think it's going to be a serious non-event in America. I can even make a case, Jim, that Y2K would make the stock market go up. And let me tell you why. The Gartner Group, which is probably the true experts in Y2K,
right,
says the least prepared country on earth is Japan. Now, what's been happening for a lot of this year, people don't know it, but a lot of stocks, about 60 to 80% of them, depending on which study you look at, are down this year. And a lot of it is with the weak dollar, money is leaving the United States, and a lot of it's going back to Japan, and their market has been booming. What happens if you're a German Japanese portfolio manager? You're sitting around looking at Y2K and worried about your weak banks and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of that money could come back over here and boost our stock market. So I can make a case, and I'm not, but I can make a case that Y2K would make our stock market go up instead of the down that you're hearing all of our people say. But nonetheless, I think it's basically a non-factor. I am not factoring Y2K into my business or investment decisions in any way, shape, or form.
Well, one thing that's probably is going to happen is the perception about what may happen and the resulting panic,
the reality,
may be much greater than the reality and create more problems than the reality. And that's what I'm more concerned about.
Oh, I definitely am, Jim. I wrote a letter. You know, the American Bankers Association has prepared a sermon. The conservative religious radio has been full of talk about take all your money out of the banks. You know, when you put a dollar in a bank, Jim, there's something called a reserve requirement that says
they
should hold on to 10 cents. So if you want your money back, they've got 10 cents. More than 10% of the people will want their money back at any given time. The rest is then loaned for businesses and so on. Here's the irony, is these guys are talking people into taking all their money out of the bank, and they only have 10 cents on the dollar. In the last study I saw, 10% of all Americans said they would take all of their money out of the bank.
Yeah.
That's enough to create 1929.
It really is, isn't it?
The American Bankers Association prepared a sermon that went out to 27,000 churches with a letter from me last week.
I remember that.
That said, please do this sermon to tell people not to take their money out of the bank.
Absolutely. Gary, stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Gary to talk to us about some of his worldviews. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back at 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gary Moore is our very good friend and our special guest this hour. He is the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. Please check this book out. It would make an excellent holiday present. I recommend it. It's not a huge book. It's something you can read fairly quickly, but it's the kind of book that you will dog ear it, you will bookmark it, and you'll go back to it. I recommend you check it out. And what is it? I was trying to look for the price, Gary.
It's around
$12.95, and maybe even a little cheaper on some of the online bookstores. Gary, give us a couple of thoughts as we wrap up the hour on your world, sort of some world views of what you're seeing around the world.
Oh, one of the things I love about Templeton is he's offshore, and instead of thinking like an American, a self-centered sort of America is the focus of the world, he sort of puts things in perspective to me. In the early 90s, for example, we were hearing about how Japan was going to buy America and all that kind of stuff. You know, the Japanese economy was never larger than 40% of America's economy. Never. You know, we do more business, Jim, with Canada than we do with Japan and have for years. Now, let me give you...
Even before Japan went into the tank?
Yep, Canada's always been our number one trading partner. Let me give you something even better. I'm writing a book with a guy who's a consultant to the Canadian embassy in America. He works with American businessmen trying to understand Canada. We do more business with the province of Ontario than we do with the country of Japan. Does that change your worldview? I knew businessmen in the early 90s who were cutting back because they thought Asia was going to buy America, and they missed one of the greatest expansions in the history of the country. Let me relate that now to Y2K, how I see the same thing. The paranoia is dying over America's problems with Y2K. In other words, we're beginning to see reality that Gartner Group was always correct, that it's just going to be like a minor storm. People now are shifting their thinking overseas and saying, geez, it's going to be a major problem in the rest of the world. Let me give you two statistics. 80% of the world's people do not have a telephone in their home. 80%, Jim. 50% of the world's people have never used a telephone. You see, we have this perception that they're like us. We create reality in our own image, if you want to use religious language. We think these people over in the rest of the world sitting around waiting for their computers to crash because they're online. These guys haven't ever used a telephone.
Someone was saying, I heard someone say that one of the big problems we're going to have globally for Y2K is all the problems that Russia's not ready. And I said, and I asked the question, I said, but how many computers do they have over there? I mean, how could you, you know, sure, they're not ready. They don't have anything to be ready for. I'm not, and I don't mean that in a,
yeah.
I mean, obviously there are computers in Russia, but obviously they're not to the degree that they don't depend on them to the degree that a lot of other countries do.
The big view on overseas is generally, and this is very broad, and there's going to be certainly exceptions, is that if countries are rich enough to have computers, they're rich enough to fix the computer bug. I mean, that's the big picture.
Right.
Not that there won't be problems, and Russia in particular, that probably put in some computers and has since gone broke, is going to have trouble getting up to snuff. But, you know, just to say that there's a computer problem is a far cry from saying it's going to be Armageddon. I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard scenarios where missiles are flying through the air, planes are falling out of the sky, all kinds of nonsense. You know, computers don't necessarily make everything. The world stops working when a computer stops working.
Gary, that's got to be the last word. Thank you very much. As always, you were great today. Enjoyed having you with us. Looking forward to the next visit.
Always fun, Jim.
Thanks, Gary.
Take care.
See you later. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.